Around Comics, episode
73. Chicago, this is Around Comics, presented by Borders.
Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable. And then you spot it, the graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere, right here in your local Borders. Borders is your source for the best original graphic novels, manga, deluxe hardcovers, and trade paperback collections. Not only will you find exactly what you are looking for, you'll discover unexpected new authors and series. While you're at Borders, don't forget to check out their huge selection of music, movies, and magazines. Borders isn't just a bookstore, it has everything you need for your comics culture lifestyle. Now you can save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Google Borders for a valuable coupon, and always remember to check Borders first. To find a store near you, go to www.borderstores.com.
Coupon.
My wife would slap me if I said coupon. Literally, she'd slap me.
I would say,
she slaps you for a lot of things.
A voucher. No.
A voucher.
I believe I have a voucher.
All right, welcome aboard, everyone. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. Let me introduce you to the rest of today's panel. First, my two co-hosts, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yes.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
Toodaloo.
I just made that up. Toodaloo.
And it's Monday, and that means that we have our Around Comics Monday regular.
You had to rustle up John.
Yeah. Don't know where else I would be on a
Friday. You know him as Monday the host of Word Balloon. He is, of course, Mr. John Suntress.
Hello.
He took the Suntress copter in.
I've got chocolate chips in the back seat of the Suntress copter. And it's Tupperware.
Amazingly
Listen
enough.
For Thursday for why that's funny.
Yes.
Gentlemen, it's good to have everyone here. Want to let everyone know about Around Comics at the New York Comic Con. As you know, the con is just around the corner. It's going to be on February 23rd through the 25th. Woo-hoo. At the Jacob K. Javits Center.
Yeah.
K stands for comics.
You got it.
We're caters.
We will be at booth A152 in the Podcasters Arena. That's going to be located between Artist Alley and the main autograph area on the Galleria level of the convention center. At the convention, we are partnering with the Hero Initiative.
Dun, dun, dun.
If you don't know who they are, you certainly should. The Hero Initiative creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people that have given us so much enjoyment.
Yesterday's creators are today's tomorrow.
What?
I don't know.
Isn't that the name of a Star Trek episode?
For more information,
yesterday.
For more information, please go to www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. They are great people doing great work.
Here.
We're going to be taking donations for them all weekend long at our table, and we have a few people that have agreed to help us out. If you drop by our table, you'll have a chance to meet such people as team from Athena of Altair, Mr. Steve Bryant, and his colorist, Mr. Jason Millay, the author of The Other Side and the fantastic series Scalped, Jason Aaron, the artist of The Other Side, Cameron Stewart, a man that went all the way to Vietnam for research. Yeah. True story. Listen to the interview.
He time traveled back to Vietnam and fought in the Vietnam War.
Back to the shit.
The artist of the all-new Adam and our buddy Mr. Mike Norton will be there. Legendary creator Gene Colan. So I'm looking forward to meeting Gene in person.
And by special arrangement from Vanguard Productions, legend Carmine Infantino.
Yay. One of the creators of the Silver Age.
You can come watch me. I'll be standing nearby, clutching one of my 100 pagers, one of my Flash 100 pages.
Mr. Infantino.
Tom will be wearing a Deerstalker cap to depict Detective Chimp.
Detective.
While Carmine will be signing.
Carmine, can you sign this?
I created you, didn't I?
What's with that guy, the skinny guy?
Hey.
Well, folks, in addition to the signings, we're going to have a lot of original artwork, sketches, signed memorabilia, and such. For we'll be taking donations for those. And some of the folks that have donated so kindly, Steve Rude, Mike Norton, Tim Seeley, Scotty Young, Steve Bryant, Greg Titus, and we're getting more all the time.
Chris and I were at one of the drink and draws at Andersonville, and that's a Chicago neighborhood bar. And I'm doing it for a purpose, Mark, because Chris was smart enough to suggest that the guys get together, all these cartoonists in
every
Chicago,
week.
They get together every week and they just hang out and they just draw just to kind of hang out because they're always stuck in their studio all week. And Tim Seeley's the guy who started it. And it was
it was it Tim or was it Scotty?
Maybe it was Scotty.
I think it's Scotty's
thing. All right, fine. Yeah. Sorry, Scotty. But anyway, they Tim or Chris was smart to say, hey, man, you guys are always cranking out drawings, and they literally do. You know, maybe you can do it for Hero Initiative. And I was there. Unbelievable stuff. You'll see it on the website.
Yeah, you can go to our our New York Comic Con page.
Great, Mike Norton has great a great thing on there. That's great.
Actually, Mike did
Wildcat. Really cool.
Oh, yeah, that is really
His Superman
good.
Is
His Superman is really
His
nice.
His Adam is outstanding. Yeah.
And I tell you what, a guy that you may not have heard about unless you read the Super Scroll miniseries.
Part of Annihilation for Marvel.
Greg Titus did a Super Scroll sketch that was
outstanding.
Unbelievable.
Outstanding. No, it's
so come to New York.
Gorgeous stuff, guys. It's there for you if you
Fun
put in
stuff.
A donation.
Yeah,
right donation.
Give a donation. Oh. And also, we're going to have more announcements of some other creators.
Oh, we got some big names.
We got some big names that we're working on. So hopefully soon we'll be able to announce
we
that.
We just need the word go, so tune in next week.
Could be fun.
Yep, next Monday's episode we'll be able to let everyone know about
we
that.
We will but, tell you what you're going to do when you are in New York.
Tom will. He'll be at the door. Real quick, before we get on to the news, want to let everyone know about Around Comics being recorded at Dark Tower. It is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock here.
Whether they like it or not.
It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. While you're here, ask about their Polis membership.
It's
great
fantastic.
One. It's fantastic. I use it every week. Dark Tower has a fantastic selection of comics, mainstream, independent, et cetera. Wonderful trade paperback.
Lots of books.
I'm butchering this spot. Sorry, Mark.
Pages.
Come into Dark Tower. It's awesome.
No one loves
covers.
Mark needs your love.
Great selection. Unbelievable selection.
Yeah, it's,
truly.
It's a good shot. All right, guys. That's all of our beginning announcements. Let's move on to the news. It is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, guys, from the top here, there's been some shakeups in some of the movie offerings from DC. First of all, Josh Whedon announced that he is leaving Wonder Woman. And to top that off...
Did you say Joss or Josh?
Joss.
Okay, I just want to make
Joss.
Sure.
Joss.
Sorry, I heard Josh. I'm sorry.
The name police?
I got filtered. Yeah, I can't
What'd you say?
Me. Yeah, I'm a name cop. I'm sorry, man.
All right.
Pull over.
Keep an eye on Suntress today.
Frisk him.
We're going to call him out.
Frisk him. Nothing like getting frisked by John Suntress
still.
And those
you had an
meat
there,
hooks
asshole.
Of his.
David Goyer announced that he was going to be working on the Flash movie. And then, right after that, it was announced that Sean Levy was replacing him. So all
no, no,
sorts
yeah,
of...
No. Yeah,
wait.
Years ago, it was announced that David Goyer was working on Flash.
Yeah.
It has been announced this week that he is off Flash. It
yes.
sounded, now, that sounds like you said he was on the Flash movie this week, and now he's all of a sudden he's off. That's,
what? Oh, okay.
So I am going to copy
on that. Okay, well, the press release was worded very, very odd. There's a lot of different moving around on movies, right? John, damn you!
I'm sorry, buddy.
God, it's John's show now.
Hey, Batman Begins came out a year ago.
No.
I'll be over here talking to Mark.
You're right. It was disappointing because I think things were on track with, certainly with the Flash movie, and Cater's being a Flash fan, you could appreciate that.
I like David Goyer. I thought he was going to do a good story, and now I'm just kind of like, oh.
There were rumors that Ryan Reynolds might be involved.
And he said that now he's not so sure because they may go
Ryan
in a different
Reynolds
direction.
Would make a fantastic Wally West.
I agree.
He would be...
But he doesn't want to play Barry.
Well, he just doesn't think he's right for
right.
Barry because maybe Barry's a little bit older than Ryan, which I suppose is probably...
I'd like
he
to see him
really
as...
He would make a really good Wally West. Wally,
that would be fun.
Absolutely. Well, and it's just because there's a change and now Sean Levy's in it doesn't mean that Wally
right.
is going to still be the guy. And it sounds like with Sean Levy, who you guys know, of course, did Night at the Museum, which is a mm-hmm. huge seller, and I'm sure that's one of the reasons why Warner is leaning towards Sean. But
so
I
what
think
was,
the
what
fear
was,
is that maybe it'll be a funnier movie rather than the serious movie that maybe Goyer was trying to do.
It was a little darker. Yeah. The Goyer was admittedly a darker Flash story.
What was the deal with Whedon? I had heard something about how he had a bit of a...
I think it was I think
falling
it was,
out, or not a fall, but just disagreements.
And it was the same thing with Goyer on The Flash. It was they had a vision for what the movie should be, and the studio had a different vision. And I think these guys, especially you know a guy like Whedon, he's like, you know, if you're not going to do my movie, that's fine. You know, go do your movie. That's cool.
Well, and it sounded too like in the case of Wonder Woman, that Whedon was going to try and do a fish out of water story where Wonder Woman really was going to be this kind of stranger in a strange land and everything, and maybe that was something that Joel Silver and the producers don't want to do.
Reading between the lines, I'm thinking Wonder Woman's going to suck, but that's just me.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. You never know. I mean, it's still in the pre-production stages, so who the hell knows?
There has been a lot of concern. I'd always seen people throwing around the stuff with Goyer's Flash maybe being too complicated for the average fan to walk into and get, because he wanted to do something that sort of included the idea of the legacy of the Flash.
By having Barry and Wally.
They were worried that fans wouldn't get that.
To have two guys
inherit it from someone else.
If you guys remember 15 years ago, there was talk of James Cameron doing a Spider-Man movie, and everyone was disappointed when that didn't happen. We still got a great movie out of it, so...
Rude Dude Productions has officially launched. Steve Rude announced that his new company website, Rude Dude Productions, officially launched their new website, www.rudedudeproductions.com. Rude also announced that the top 1,000 retail orders of the free Comic Book Day Nexus issue will receive a free 18x25 poster advertising free Comic Book Day. The top 10 retail orders will receive a care package from Rude Dude's crew, including a batch of Gino's famous homemade cookies.
Tasty.
I hope the pudding package doesn't look like
he's famous. What are you
like
talking
mine.
About?
Oh.
And speaking of Steve Rude, Rude Dude Productions, and Free Comic Book Day, I think we're going to have a stack of Free Comic Book Day postcards at the New York Comic Con.
From the dude
from
himself.
The dude abides. Mm-hmm.
You guys, so May 5th, I guess probably the best thing is all to go into your local comic shop, and we talked about this last week about the Free Comic Book Day offerings. Take a look at that list. Find out what you want. Go into your local comic shop and say, hey, I know that you're doing your orders for Free Comic Book Day. These are the ones that I would be interested in. Tell your shops what free comic books you would like.
Because it costs them money and they're not going to order everything.
They're not
because
order
it does cost so much money.
Yes, and definitely ask for Nexus. Devil's Do reveals Hackslash versus Chucky. On the heels of Devil's Due Publishing's recently announced publishing agreement with Universal Studios Consumer Products Group to bring horror icon Chucky back to the world of comics, the proud company unveils Hackslash versus Chucky, pitting the tiny menace against DDP's own horror franchise stars, Casey Hack and Vlad, in a terrifying new crossover. Available this March, Hackslash versus Chucky, written by Tim Seeley, with interior art by Matt Maroff and cover art by Tone Rodriguez and Chris Moreno, which is great, promises 48 lethal pages, each priced at $5.50.
Jesus, each one of the 48
pages
is priced at $5.50.
Yeah, that's pretty much actually.
That's expensive.
Dude, that's a $200
I saw Chris in Orlando at the FX Con, and he showed me his cover, and it's outstanding. And
did it rock your ass off, John?
Yeah, Chris is perfect for something like this because he's a horror fan, he's a schlock horror fan, and he loves Hackslash, he loves Chucky, and he did it well. And Tone is a wonderful artist
I'm just so glad that there are more horror books on the stands. I love horror comics.
Sure.
And
Hackslash is such a great book. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I mean, and I'm it's just. knowing Tim and everything, it's really cool that he came up with such a great, simple idea that has really caught on. And not only has fans in comics, but also the horror fans love it as well. Mm-hmm.
And so. And I know a lot of folks out there, there was even a thread about this on Comic Block this week. A lot of folks haven't had the chance to check out Hack Slash. A lot of comic shops don't carry it. But if you go to pullboxonline.com, you can get every issue for a buck.
Yeah,
and it's totally worth it. It's a great series. There's also a neat little contest going on at DDP at their MySpace page, which is myspace.com/hack_slash, and
S L A S H.
It's an insult contest, and it's a contest to fire insults back and forth between Chucky and Cassie. So have fun with that. Postcards has been acquired by Random House. Villard Books, an imprint of Random House Inc., announced that the announced their acquisition of Postcards.
Isn't that Villard?
Is it Villard?
Well, I was thinking Villard. Like Dillard.
Yeah, Villard Books. Know. Okay, but they've Villard acquired Postcards.
Sounds a lot.
Okay,
Villard.
You between you and Suntress today, you
get out.
Well, I just want to get it right, man.
Get out, man.
Wait, hey.
It's in the air.
They have acquired Postcards, True Stories That Never Happened, a graphic novel assembled by Jason Rodriguez. Postcards features stories from several top comics creators, including Harvey Pekar, Joshua Hale
Fialkov.
Fialkov. Phil Hester, Stuart Moore, and Anthony
Philip
Johnson.
Hester.
Yeah, I know. It said that they have Philip Hester. It's like I've never seen Phil called Philip.
When he's doing his prose work.
You know, Andy Parks told us about this months and months ago.
We talked to Andy.
Josh has been keeping me up to date on this as well.
It's a really
neat they've just been working
idea.
On it a long time, and you know, it's finally finding a... And it's home.
It's neat that Random House is kind of very quietly getting involved with comics because they're also packaging the collected version of Elk's Run for Josh.
Like ninjas.
And they are. They're like a stealthy
they're
publisher.
They're like the ninjas of publishers.
They really are. No, and I'm really happy.
I can't
happy.
Wait to read Elk's Run.
That's what I was going to say. I'm really happy for Josh because...
Why haven't you read it?
He deserves...
It has been completed.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a speakeasy book.
We were standing on the issue four for months.
We haven't mentioned speakeasy in months.
I know.
It's such an original story, and I really do love it, and it's so beautifully drawn as well. Very cool, and I'm glad to see, again, more projects from Random House coming out in a comic
book. The whole concept between Postcards sounds so interesting. It's basically a guy shop... flea markets for postcards and realized that all these postcards were stories that had started and don't have an end.
Have you ever heard of the Trachtenberg Family Band? It's this reminded me of this band, and I wanted to mention this because they go to estate sales and they buy slides and postcards from families, and they write songs about them, and they perform concerts where they show the slides and the songs match them. If you like that idea, I just wanted to throw that out because that just completely
kind
reminded
of
me of doing that. Yeah.
Michael Golden is heating up the New York Comic Con. May be taking place during one of the coldest months of the year, but you couldn't tell it by the heat generated from Michael Golden's exclusive Vampirilla poster at the New York Comic Con. NYCC selected this red-hot piece from Golden's portfolio to be an official herald of the convention taking place at the end of February.
What's the official mod of the convention, Caters?
The official what?
Mod. Herald and mod.
Oh.
Thank you.
All right, that was fun.
Dun-dun-dun.
The poster itself is gracing comic shops and retail outlets around the city. Assuming that folks at stores didn't decide to take the vampy home instead. Never fear, you can get your chance to see it around town. Blah blah. Okay, Michael Golden.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I thought you weren't reading these like verbatim anymore. I gotta bust you on that. No, it's. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I didn't read the whole postcards thing.
Only because Tom stopped
Golden,
you.
Golden had that at Orlando at the FX Con. It's hot.
Oh well, great, shouldn't we all have been at the fucking FX Con?
I saw it. Well, but I'm saying. Oh. I'm providing.
John, is it red hot?
I'm providing like.
Was
it
red hot?
It was red hot. No, she looked good. Gee, who can't draw a hot vampy? Michael Golden can draw a hot vampy. Oh. It's very cute.
Yeah, there'll be 75 a day will be available in Artist Alley.
Signed and numbered.
By Michael Golden.
Hey.
Mike's got a lot of stuff coming up.
And Michael Golden is awesome. We'll have three of them signed and numbered by me.
He has he has a lot of projects coming up.
All of a sudden
he's getting back into...
Exactly.
Where's he been hiding?
I don't know what he was doing. Honestly, I mean, I just focused on what's coming up. I'm going to get him on Word Balloon in a month or two, and we're setting something up.
I know a fantastic comic artist, but I always think of him as being one of the best cover artists comics history.
No question.
He's outstanding.
You can really rub one out to Vampirella.
Hey, dude. That's Caliber Comics is back online, or online for the first time. The independent publisher from the 90s is making its way back to the internet, or to the internet, at drivethroughcomics.com. You can now download PDFs of old Caliber Comic books, including stuff owned by Gary Reed. Series include Dead World, Realm, Oz, Helsing, Seeker, Worlds of H.P. Lovecraft, and many of the Tome Press titles. So... some Caliber stuff coming down. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
That's neat. You know, it's the combination of this and the stuff that Desperado is bringing back that used to be Caliber stuff. I was just telling Mark, the owner of Dark Towers, that, man, if my local stores had carried those Caliber books, I swear I would have bought them all. Gary's a great writer. He really is. And he was running Caliber back in the day. And Caliber is the place where Phil Hester, Ed Brubaker, Don Kramer, Bendis,
all those guys
really got their start there. They had the licenses for things like The Crow, and I'm trying to remember some of the other licensed books that they had. But really, that's where Jinx and Goldfish and that stuff like first got printed. So I think it's really cool. And again, Gary is a great, great writer, so I would seek these things out.
I think they're going to have some 400-odd titles available here this year.
You can really rub one out to Caliber Comics.
And it's interesting that they're choosing the PDF format versus the CBR formats that some of the other digital comic books are choosing.
A lot of people aren't liking that.
So, yeah, I've kind of seen a negative vibe towards that.
I don't want PDF comics.
No, you know, I got a few like that, and I didn't have a problem.
You can read them with most other
Acrobatic reader, yeah.
Well, you can read them with CBR readers.
That's
too.
True too.
Okay.
The only thing that I don't like about the PDF ones necessarily to the CBZ is that if you get a bunch of them, it becomes a little ungainly to keep track. Like if you have
file size,
it becomes a little You have to keep everything in a folder where instead of just having a zip file of it, which is pretty much what a CBR CBZ is. But, like, having one isn't a big deal, but if you all of a sudden have, like, 20 folders with individual PDF pages, then it can get a little hard to manage. Right. But
well, check out drivethroughcomics.com anyway. Next story.
Do it anyway.
Dude, don't listen to Tom. Ed Brubaker was in an interview on LiveWireWorld.net, and he happened to talk about Salvador LaRocca, will be penciling Uncanny X-Men in an upcoming story arc featuring the Morlocks.
Ooh, I love the Morlocks.
Mm-hmm. Ed said...
good Morlock stories are good.
For me to evaluate if I wanted to do this job for more than one storyline, I felt the way to do that, with Civil War coming up and everything, I wanted to do something that could at least feel like it was self-contained within what I was doing. For a writer, he doesn't do interviews. And now that I figured it out, I'm doing the next storyline after that with Salvador LaRocca doing the art. So that'll be an interesting change on Uncanny.
Who's currently doing it? Billy Tan. Oh, that's right. Billy Tan. Thank you.
I like the Morlocks.
Morlocks are cool.
I like them in the Rod Taylor. Rod Taylor, the Time Machine movie back in the 60s. Those Morlocks.
I like Caliban. Well, that was, where is Caliban these days?
Sable and Garza on Supergirl with the May issue number 16 of DC Supergirl. Mark Sable will be joining current writer Joe Kelly as co-writer on the series, and Ali Garza will be taking over the art chores. Garza most recently drew Supergirl in the recent DCU Christmas special.
Man, that's like a Jinx book. I kind of feel bad for Joe Kelly.
There's an announcement like every 4 weeks about something going on with Supergirl.
Like they keep fucking with it.
They haven't been able to.
Does anybody read it?
Supergirl's this book that started off. And I was talking to Chris about this. Superman Batman started off with this great storyline about Supergirl.
Jeff Loeb wrote it.
Never been able to capitalize on, because starting all the way back from issue 6 or 7, it's always been delayed.
Well,
I don't say only been delayed. The creators have
they
changed.
Keep changing.
Well,
the
exactly. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Jeff Loeb, because of his, yeah. his family issues, you know, decided he didn't want to work in comics for a while. And he had, you know, yeah. so he dropped out. Rucka came in, realized how much work he had, and said that's too goddamn much, so he couldn't stay on the book. And it's just been this hot
they
potato.
They haven't been able to get a good
cancel it.
Yeah, and I think you know, I think Bruce Jones was kind of handed the same deal in Nightwing in a smaller way, and I think Joe Kelly's been doing a lot of cleanup as well. So I think
he's
it's
the janitor.
It's tough, and I think Joe Kelly's a good writer.
Yeah.
I think he's a good Superman.
I loved
family
his
writer.
Superman Batman annual, and I feel kind of bad because I
Excellent.
Think Supergirl. While it should be a better book than it is, has been put off to the side for a while, quite literally because it's always behind. It's always behind
yeah.
the storyline.
Well, and then, yeah, because another thing, too, is it's the art that's been, you know, the issue as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's this Jinx book.
So what are you guys people. Doing on Valentine's Day? Well, if you're not doing anything, you can always go by the Alter Ego or the Tomorrow's Tomorrow's website and get a free copy of Alter Ego's number 64 on February 14th, starting
segues.
At 10 a.m. Eastern Standard. Yeah, but I don't try and make them. The first 500 people to log into www.tomorrows.com, that's tomorrows.com, can click on the link for Alter Ego's number 64, place it in the shopping cart, check out, and it will be mailed to them at no cost.
I believe that's the issue, the current issue with Nick Carty.
The Fawcett.
Yes.
It's also got the Fawcett,
Fawcett
stuff.
Fawcett stuff, yeah.
Well, every issue has Fawcett
so go,
stuff.
So, go, yeah, buy, yeah, so go buy that issue of Alter Ego and get the free one for a friend.
And now Caters and I will recreate a great Tomorrow's interview. Hey, Nick Carty, I enjoyed your work on Aquaman 416. What was it like working with Jim Aparo?
I don't remember.
Really? It was an issue that you guys did, and it was really exciting. It featured Black Manta. It was one of my favorites.
I don't know.
It's the most literal translation of interviews you've
Fantastic.
Ever read. I love. Don't get me wrong. I love Alter Ego. It's Roy Thomas does a tremendous job on the magazine, and George Corey is one of their best writers on the book, among the others. It's just sometimes those transcriptions are a little too literate.
Nick Carty, did you ever do a Superman cover?
I'm not
no.
sure.
I knew that, but I wanted to hear you say it.
All right, guys, next story. Want to let you know an exhibition of original Love and Rockets artwork opened up this past Saturday at the Fantagraphics Bookstore and Gallery located at 1201 South Vale Street in the heart of Seattle's lively Georgetown district.
That's a fun part of Seattle.
You got
it.
25 Years of Love and Rockets by Gilbert and Jimmy Hernandez is running through March 7th. So if you're in the Seattle area, definitely check that out.
Sounds cool.
I'm going to Seattle for vacation later in the year, so I'm probably going to go.
But it's going to be after March 7th, so...
I heard that...
No, it's actually...
Doesn't Gilbert have some new collection coming out?
Yes,
he has a new trade coming out.
That, all right, maybe that's what...
It's a new original...
Or an OGN.
OGN, yeah,
yeah,
it's an original graphic.
What, she did Sloth last year?
He did Sloth
yeah.
last year from... Was that Image?
I thought it was Vertigo.
Yeah, Vertigo. You're
it
right.
was Vertigo.
Yeah.
And
this
it was
is,
Vertigo.
This is coming out... I'm not even sure who it's coming out by. I just read a story on it not too long ago. But yeah, he's got something new coming out.
No, that's really cool.
And the Palomar and Logos hardcovers have been out for a little while now. So, and those are great deals to get. I mean, I got both of them for Christmas, and I still have Chris's copy.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's my Logos?
Which I'm
at,
just
bitch?
Using as a doorstop.
How messed up is it, man? 25 years ago. Jesus Christ. I mean, I remember when this shit was like brand new.
For me, it feels like it's always been there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
I'm 33, so...
God. You know, so much established that, of course, a fine alt band in the early 90s took their name from
the
comic book.
Yes, a great band.
I'm alive.
I'm alive.
Oh, Lord, I'm alive.
The Boys is back.
The Boys are back.
The Boys are back at Dynamite.
The Boys are back in town.
Alternate covers.
According to Newsarama.com, Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson's The Boys will return to print shortly, this time under the Dynamite imprint. So they're back.
Good for Garth and Derek. They that didn't take very long. Are we gonna?
You know what?
You know, I wonder, though, because issue, what was it, issue 6 or
6
7?
6 is the last one.
Uh-huh. 6 is the last one, but... Like 7 and 8 are still solicited from
7 through 10. 7 through
yeah.
10. Are,
well, yeah, I mean,
but
I'm sure that's...
they pulled the solicitation.
They're pulling those. And,
yeah.
I think it's
so what's going to happen? Like, are they going to be able to trade that, though?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think DC will have that if they want. Or actually, that would be interesting.
I would guess that I think that DC really wants to wash their hands of this series. So I think
that may be the case. But when it comes to money. You know, well, I mean, they already printed it once.
Yeah, but
they already printed it once. Why wouldn't they reprint it
But to keep it in print would be exactly what they don't want, which is to have superheroes depicted in this way. I read a quote from Garth Sand.
Oh, I read that too. It was hilarious. Well, on Heidi McDonald's
yes,
The Beat.
Yes, on The Beat, exactly.
She talked to him and basically said something along the lines of, well, it's okay, you know, in a book like Preacher where people can do horrible things, but if superheroes do it, it's not okay.
Well, it's too close to their trademark characters. Yeah. Well, that they make so much money off of putting on underwear and stuff like that, and you don't want hamsters coming out of that said underwear. And I guess that's the problem.
I think it's going to be interesting, too, because it's sort of a weird experiment in what difference it makes to go from the big two to an independent publisher.
It's
going
to be a real neat case
study. See what difference that really makes with pre-orders, because I think people have their ideas of how that works, but this is really literally a test of what that means.
More so than Fallen Angel was going from DC to IDW.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I look at something like Wanted, where, you know, Mark Miller and J.G. Jones are big names, and they were able to maintain, you know, around 35,000-40,000, you know, copies a month, and I know that was around the numbers for The Boys. I think this is enough of a bad boy book that I think the numbers are going to follow. I don't think there's going to be much of a drop.
I look at it both ways, because then I look at books like, you know, Warren Ellis and Alan Moore stuff from Avatar that doesn't sell very well at all. You know, I mean, comparatively, I don't think those are doing 30,000.
But
and
they
those
didn't
are bigger
start,
names.
But those books, those specific books, didn't start at DC or Marvel. I think there's a good bad boy story.
You'll get
here,
a lot world. More people. I think that the shops that are selling it might be seeing profit off of it already, so they might reach out and order it anyway. But if you're, I mean, it is really, to me, a really interesting case, because you're really going to see what difference pre-orders make.
But it's still only a case of how many books the shops are buying, not the people.
It'll still be interesting, because people still have their preconceptions of how many shops
how many shop owners are gonna overlook
it? You know
it
what?
Because it's
it would,
no longer.
Yeah, it would be great
coming out
if we
through
had,
Wildstorm
if
and
we
just
had
not,
a
you know.
Shop owner here that we would ask
Gee,
him what he's gonna.
I wonder what
hey,
we
Mark, if only we had.
Come on
one.
Over for a sec. Okay.
What are you doing over there?
Hey, sir.
Come on, pony up.
Pony your tail
the
up.
The boys here. Is going from Wildstorm to Dynamite.
Right.
How are you going to change your ordering on it?
I'm going to go to the Dynamite section of the previews and order.
Same amount
same
as you would have before. You know,
probably
sure.
a little more.
Probably a little more.
If the book's selling well. I've had to reorder the first six issues. I can't tell you how many times.
Do you think there'll be a difference for shops that don't order independent books at all?
I think it's going to be a difference for small shops like down south and stuff that didn't even know the book was that risque to begin with. You know, the same ones that couldn't buy Squadron Supreme when it was Supreme Power.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to affect
that
them a little
could
bit.
Be,
but it,
yeah,
but
that could
may,
be an effect there.
I mean, you know.
Are they ordering Garcia? Were they ordering
never
from
a bad thing? I'm
well,
sorry.
That's what I think, man.
More people have probably heard about this series now than ever heard
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. Ooh, I want the dirty book and everything that DC dropped. And I mean, now but it's some of this like taboo book.
But I think with comics, though, I think there's a weird thing, too, that bad press isn't bad, you know, there's no such thing as bad press, but it's no such thing as bad press to what, 15,000, 20,000 people?
Yeah.
You know, like, how many people really follow the press
but that's what I mean.
Anyway? You
that's,
know? Like,
that's what I mean. I think some people bought the book because it was a Garth Ennis book, and because they're like, oh, you're not going to believe what we're doing.
That's definitely what started it, but I've definitely, people ask me, what's
yeah, you know, with
read?
A book like, with a I book like that anyway, most of those sales are coming off of his name to begin with, so those same people are going to buy it regardless of if it comes out of Dynamite.
But
same thing at Chronicles of Wormwood. It sells on his name to a degree, and that if it's a good book, which it was.
Didn't the Authority go up? Didn't the Authority trades with Ellis and Miller go up after all the flack that DC kind of...
definitely sold more.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like...
It was
one thing while it was coming out, but then DC says, oh, I don't want to be associated with this. Oh, my goodness.
Last Temptation of Christ.
Exactly. What? I think it's that kind of boomerang. What? But, you know, I can totally see it happening your way, too, Sal.
We'll see what happens. I don't know. I hope it does well. I hope it does better for him than it did before at DC. I hope it sells 50,000 copies.
Mark Evanier announced... that he'll be publishing a biography of comics legend Jack Kirby. He was a friend and former employee of Kirby who came to work for Jack at a very interesting time right after Jack joined DC at the invitation of Carmine Infantino, who I believe you boys will be talking to in New York.
Amazingly enough.
And the book, it's going to be interesting because it's going to be two volumes. One volume will be kind of a coffee table book that's going to have a lot of Kirby art, rare, reproduced in color, much of it shot from the original artwork. And then also there'll be another volume that really will be more of a traditional biography. It's called Kirby, King of Comics. It'll be released in October. And Evanier is a wonderful writer. He's a great storyteller.
So I think it'll be interesting.
With that, having you know the art and stuff that you haven't seen before, I'm assuming this is in conjunction with the Kirby estate then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, this whole thing. Mark was a really close friend of Roz and Jack's. And I'm sure that Jack's daughter, who is kind of running things now as far as the Kirby estate, was more than happy to open up the coffers and then say, hey, you know.
Well, and what's cool on the original art, a lot of the black and white art, they're actually reproducing it in color. And they explained why, that they wanted to show, like, all of the eraser marks and different, you know, all the little notes and show as much detail. So the reproductions are going to be really cool.
And they used to DC especially used to mess with Kirby all the time. I mean, guys like Murphy Anderson and Kurt Swan were called in to redraw Superman's face because they felt Kirby didn't quite capture it. And so it'll be really interesting. Did you ever get that Jack Kirby collector that Tomorrow's always put out?
No, I never did pick
that
up.
I've seen a lot of that. Yeah.
Interesting stuff in there.
The DC stuff is so weird because you read a lot of the Jimmy Olsen or the New Gods and stuff, and you can see panels where literally you read it and you're like, God, that doesn't look like Jack Kirby drew that face. You know, you see this and then you're like, there's one panel of Superman where you're like, did he draw that? Because it doesn't look like it.
And it was an interesting time for his art, too, because that's when he was experimenting. And he did a little bit in Fantastic Four, too, but using mixed media. Using real photography. You know, and you'll get like a picture of the moon and it'll be Apocalypse. It'll be depicted as Apocalypse in a Jimmy Olsen comic or that great opening scene before you finally see Galactus in the Fantastic Four, when you see this model spaceship opening up and it really is some model that Jack bought. So, I look forward to this. And again, he's a perfect guy to chronicle Kirby's life.
All right, guys, that will wrap up our news. Hey, Tom, who watches the Cadas?
No one does. I wish someone would.
All right, then.
No one cares.
Too bad.
But more importantly,
can I read this just so?
I don't seem like a dick for saying my name.
You're third person all the time.
Go ahead, Matt.
All right, who watches the Caters? Obviously, a contest we've talked about before. Tom was drunk watching the Packers. He bought two Absolute Watchmen, and now you can win one of them. All you have to do is send in a paragraph explaining a theme that relates in Watchmen to a book that's out today.
Yeah.
And Tom will pick one randomly from those entries. He does have the ability to refuse them if he feels that you haven't put any effort into it.
Yeah.
But
I haven't had to do that yet. Everyone's put enough effort in.
Well, that's good. That's good. And if they're really likable, we'll probably read them on the show.
You got it. Contest runs through February 20th. So sometime while we're in New York, we'll decide over a beer who wins.
Who wins it?
You pull it out of the hat.
You also get a Chris Somney sketch card of Rorschach. What did Mark just give us?
Mark just gave us two CGC graded New X-Men comics. This is 114 and 116. The quietly Morrison run of New X-Men. They're both graded at 9.6 from CGC, and they're slabbed books that he's given to us to. What are we going to do with it? What do you want us to?
You know what? How about for Hero?
For Hero,
we'll do it for Hero.
Two more things added to the Hero.
So we'll have some CGC books for Hero.
CGC books to auction up.
Nice.
There you go.
All right, guys. Shop It Around Comics.
Yeah? Shop It Around Comics, www.aroundcomics.com. You can shop at our Amazon store. We have all sorts of stuff in there. You can shop at our Cafe Press shop if you want to buy Around Comics shirts or whatever. And you can search for a Borders location near you on the site now. And that is all there, so
all
check it out.
And before our reviews, the hotline.
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. It will ask you for a PIN number and an ID number, and both of those are on the site. You can get them from and leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the show just like this one.
I recently heard a news item on your show that God himself delayed issue number 6 of Civil War for the West Coast. Now with the news release that number 7 will be delayed to February 21st, I decided to use your puny show as the vessel for this message. Civil War number 7 was delayed due to a force more powerful than God. Doom! The current release date is a plot by Marvel to delay while they work on a way to break the news to all of comic fandom. Since the kidnapping of a book is a dishonorable act of a cur, Doom instead trashed the book using a pit covered in dollar bills and fill-in one-shots. The book is currently being held in a luxurious room inside Doom's spacious Latverian castle. The book shall not be released until the following demands have been met. Number 1. The final issue shall be changed to show that I, Doom, am the mastermind behind Civil War. Number 2. That it is acknowledged that Doom has always been right about the fact that Reed Richards is a dick. Number 3. Baron Zemo will apologize for that time when he fucked with my stereo during one of Doom's Latverian Harvest Festivals. It took me several hours to put that playlist together, and Doom doesn't care if Zemo doesn't want to hear that song by Tattoo. That song is good. Number 4, that all comic shops give a 50% discount on all books featuring me, Doom. That I be given an icon series called The Baby Doomers. It will be a series dealing with a baby boom age villain coming to grips with the changing world in his own family. It will feature zany friends that are also experiencing the same problem. I realize it sounds like it should be about a childlike Doom, but I'd like my say on words. That is all. I expect an answer by February 21st. When I receive that answer, I will give the books to the only force I fear, Diamond Distributors. Sincerely, Doom. P.S. I enjoy your show, and I will be writing an iTunes review shortly.
Very nice.
Thank you. Wow, Doom's a fan of us.
I can't wait.
She's listened
I can't.
Everyone twice.
I hope to be as cool as Andy Parks. That's what I was hoping I was going
to
say.
I want to write a review as good as Andy Parks.
Doom.
Well, I
like the Baby Doomers.
The Baby Doomers. I'm looking forward to that. And
it's a CW show, isn't it? I think
yeah,
it is. Actually,
it's gonna be an icon book. Baby Doomers.
well, thank you, Dr. Doom.
Doom seems to agree with everyone else. Reed is a
Vic.
Dick.
Reed is a dick. No question.
Vic
no
says
question.
Reed
Doom
is a dick.
Would have gotten Captain Marvel a better job than the warden of a prison.
No shit.
Even just as an honorable.
What a fucking dead end job that is,
man. He is like the Maytag repairman of the Marvel universe now. Yeah. Captain Marvel.
Welcome back, Marvel. My friend. Would you like a job?
I can't even.
Here, you must guard these people that you used to fight and these people that used to be your friends.
By the way, can't see your girlfriend. And those negative bands, we're going to put them in the mason jar over there, okay? Why don't you ponder that for the next 14 pages and do nothing.
Do.
I love you, Paul Jenkins.
Oh. All right, guys. One more voicemail here.
Hi, this is Jay. It's Haisoj, H-A-I-S-O-J, from the boards. Just want to call. I have just caught up to your 50th episode and wanted to congratulate you on your 50th episode. So I am calling from the past. The episode 51 was really good as well. Hope I can catch up, hopefully in the next month or so. But I appreciate what you guys do, and back to comics. Thanks to you guys. What I'm really loving right now is Fables. I'm getting caught up on that and all the trades on that and starting to buy the single issues, but just throwing those into a box until I can catch up with the regular storyline. Criminal, well, was really good. And Ex Machina, that's another one that I'm really enjoying. Thank you, guys, and talk to you later. Bye.
I would agree with both of those books, man.
Always feel free to...
Thank you, Jay.
Didn't someone just post on the forum that... Or someone wrote an iTunes review that said they just listened to episode 20?
Yeah, he said he started at the beginning.
Yeah, and I was just like, holy shit, don't
listen. It's comic readers, dude. They gotta have it in continuity,
like,
man. They can't,
to just
know.
Begin with the last
episode. You listened to that early crap and you hung in there?
And you still gave us 5 stars.
Hey, I gotta say something, though. Thank you to him. And you know, I'm not proud of much in my life, but... The fact that we actually like get people reading comics again—that's pretty cool. We've had a handful of people tell us that, and that's really cool.
Always
so.
Feel free to skip ahead and just
you can't skip ahead.
Of course,
ahead,
they're listening
to that now.
5 months from now, and they're like, "Dope!"
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I could have skipped ahead.
I could have skipped ahead.
Yeah, because we've actually talked about Jay a couple times. I think he left.
If you won't know for a year,
He'll have something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's good, though.
Jay, we'll see you in your future and our past.
It's just like leaving a time capsule. Yeah, we're leaving a little time.
Waiting for Doc Brown to jump out.
We're leaving a little time turd. trail to follow. That's
my icon.
I'm going to fart in a jar. He'll really appreciate this 7 years from now.
Around Comics, the Trail of Turds.
Welcome to Time Turd.
Well, thank you to Doom and to what's his name? Han Solo?
Jay.
Let's call him Jay.
Yeah, we'll call him
and
Jay.
And Doom. I have a feeling he'll continue to call.
Well, hey, he's more than welcome to anytime.
All right, guys, that means it is time
for
Top of the Stack.
Top of the Stack.
That's right. It's Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Mr. Caters, you always start us off. What is your Top of the Stack?
My Top of the Stack is the most predictable pick I've probably ever made. And that is Shazam, the Monster Society of Evil by Jeff Smith.
Woo!
You've
only been talking about it for 2 weeks.
This book completely explains how doing Captain Marvel isn't that difficult, really. There's enough creepy stuff with Billy Batson being a homeless child that you don't need to hip it up. You know, you can make
Let's not all bash on poor
Winnick.
I don't know. It's not Winnick. I think this book...
It's a general DC philosophy.
It's a general DC philosophy with Captain Marvel
It doesn't... That the quaint Fawcett way
doesn't work.
Yeah, and it's not Judd Winnick. It's a general feeling that's Captain Marvel is simple, or Shazam is simple, but not really. In what Jeff Smith does is he writes a really good story that takes... He doesn't change that much, but he just shows it, and I think, in a more modern way, and he highlights
without trying
things.
To be, like, hip.
Without... And shows certain things, like, this is a homeless kid, and what would a homeless kid go through? And he goes through those things, and imagine what it would be like. It has all these elements of really great things, too. It has the... it's got, like, a buddy movie feeling to it, too, because you have Captain Marvel interacting with Billy Batson. You have that sort of feeling to it. You have the fish out of water story. You have the underdog story. You have all these great stories. That's what makes Shazam and Captain Marvel work throughout time, is the fact that there's all these great stories that can be overlaid over this story, and he has brought them all out in this first issue. And the art is amazing. The writing is concise. It gets the story across. You got crocodile monsters, and it's a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it a lot.
I really enjoyed it, too. I wasn't... I've always liked the character Shazam, Captain Marvel. He's always been one of my favorites, but very rarely have I found good stories with him, you know, in modern times. For some reason, he's a hard character, right, it seems. With this one, I wasn't quite so sure. I don't know. I mean, I never read Bone. I wasn't sure what to expect from Jeff Smith. I've heard all sorts about him. I know of him and I know of his work, but I didn't know what to expect. What I liked about it probably the most was that it was a good all-ages story. Any kid could read this book. Any adult could read this book and enjoy it the same. I mean, it wasn't... When I was reading it, I'm like, wow, you know, it's sort of a simple story, but it's a good one. And I think anybody could read it and really enjoy it, and it's not like it's dumbed down for kids, or it's, you know, you don't have to... I wasn't aware that it was a kid's story. You know what I mean? It wasn't like something in my face about it. It was just a good, nice, sort of simple story.
It's like one of those kids' movies that you watch that also works for adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's all kinds... Because there's great scenes of, like, Captain Marvel likes hot dogs, but he doesn't have money.
Yeah.
Billy Batson has to buy him the hot dog, and then he shows up and eats it.
Quite the foresight.
Which is, like, the really funny sort of, like, cute stuff that I think sometimes where modern writers have had a problem with Captain Marvel is, like, picking out little funny things like that seem silly, but they're actually sort of an interesting way of looking at the character, mm-hmm. and sort of a funny, like, heartfelt way to look at the character.
Well, this is the first time that it seemed like someone wrote the character where they were two separate characters that didn't, you know, that...
They weren't aspects of the same personality.
Exactly. You know what I mean? It's like Shazam had his own personality. He was an adult.
Yep.
He knew, you know, he had years of,
of
fighting,
like,
crime.
Movie,
and And then the kid was, you know, his own character. Billy was his own character. And that was really the first time I had seen that.
And that's the original depiction that C.C. Beck and Otto Binder and those Fawcett guys were giving you back in the 40s. This was really the greatest story of that period. and it lasted for 25 issues back in the 40s, which is pretty unheard of back then, that there would be a continuing story. But it was presented in that cliffhanger serial fashion of the movie serials and stuff. And, yeah, you had the Monster
Society
of Evil.
And I love the idea that anyone who picks up this book probably will know what Mr. Mind is. And I love the fact that last panel is such a joke on what you're going to find out who Mr. Mind is, you know. It's, not to ruin it for you, but
I don't want to say anything.
Mind, yeah, it's funny, and that makes if you know who Mr. Mind is, you laugh at that last panel because you're it's a play on your expectations of what's going
to
happen.
And going back to your original point, DC really seems to have a problem presenting Marvel in this way, and it's so funny because I give it up to guys like Jeff Johns who've done wonderful things and giving a good modern spin on the Captain Marvel family. But it's nice to see that Jeff Smith is able to knock it out of the park with.
Talkie, the homeless guy, is definitely going to become a tiger at some point. He's going to become a tiger.
So very cool. The other thing I don't want to overlook on it is the very good storytelling in the sequential art in this book.
Yeah, there's a lot of panels with no words, but also very...
Very well done, and some great story elements, some great just art elements combined, and it really, really was nice work.
It's funny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a funny book.
Well, Sal, what you got for us this week?
I have a book that's coming out. It won't be out till Wednesday.
Ooh.
Want your preview.
Yeah. Matt Fraction was nice enough to send me a preview of Casanova number 7.
Ooh.
This book was delayed originally a couple of weeks, so it's coming out Wednesday. I've talked about Casanova before. It's just a phenomenal book. I absolutely love it.
Trade comes out in March.
Trade comes out in March. The story, I'm not even going to try and explain it to you because... I can't, and even if I did, it wouldn't matter because you just have to read it 3 or 4 times before you'll really get it anyway. But beautiful Gabriel Ba art again, and just good, fun action, hilarious moments in it, stuff that'll just twist your mind up. It's everything I could ask for $1.99 in a comic book.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just so good. Pick it up Wednesday. Casanova number 7. I do have a couple of honorable mentions though
before Tom comes back.
I had I know Tom really liked All New Adam number 8 with Mike Norton.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Way to go, Gail. Way to go, Mike.
Detective Comics was pretty good. Fell number 7.
Yay.
Warren Ellis, Ben Teppelsmith. One of my favorite issues of the series.
And
I
one
love
of the best
this series.
Depictions of a gunshot I've ever seen artistically.
I just absolutely love the ending of this book and how. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was just a really great sort of twist on something very common.
And much like Casanova, these guys are doing it in 16 pages. And it's a full read.
Yeah.
In 16 pages.
No
it's
question.
Crazy.
No question.
Yeah.
These books are some of the best value on the market. For
$1.99,
you're getting better stories than you see in 48-page books. I mean, they're just great
except
stuff. And another book...
Except for Tom's.
Well, two more. two more just honorable mention. New Universal number 3. I wasn't really thrilled with the first two issues of this book. For some reason, the third one really got me, and now I'm going to read the rest of it.
All right, great.
And Welcome to Tranquility number 3 again. Gail Simone is just kicking ass with this book.
It's a
I
fun
love
story.
This
you
book
took all
so
my
much.
Honorable mentions.
I'm sorry, but they were all
I was
going to
be Adam
so
fell. Adam fell in
I'm sorry, I got one more.
Oh, God.
Scalped number 2.
Oh, yeah.
Good story.
Can't phenomenal.
I think
phenomenal.
We're setting a precedent where my pick of the week has, real value because I don't have honorable mentions. Mine's up.
You have plenty of honorable mentions. You
I
just didn't
want
to mention
handle,
them.
Yeah, I just
you
let
got
you guys
it.
Do them.
But those, I think, Sal, those are all books that we love, and we definitely want to remind people when they come out.
Yeah, every once in a while, it's like I'll have a week where everything I read was just so good, and that was sort of what this last week was. Everything I read,
awesome
I really,
stuff. I almost
really
did Midnighter
enjoyed.
Number 4.
Yeah, Midnighter number 4 was another good one. There was some great stuff in that book, but
the Atom was twisted up this week. Really neat story.
There was just a lot.
The Hulk had some
books.
Awesome brood on insect sex.
What?
Yeah, it was almost like Pieces from Mom and its weirdness.
Wow.
That made me feel creepy.
All right, guys, my top of the stack. Fans of the book series will know this line: "The Man in Black fled across the desert and the Gunslinger followed.
Johnny Cash.
Well, oh. No, but I'm sure there's some inspiration there. Stephen King fans will, of course, know that is the opening line out of The Gunslinger, the first book in the Dark Tower series, which is Stephen King's...
The Gunslinger Born, correct?
Well, that line was the first line in The Gunslinger, the actual novel, and it's very nice that they use that line.
Well, they read nonfiction.
In the comic, which, as you said, is The Gunslinger Born. No problem. This is a roughly a comic. I don't want to say roughly. This one's pretty close to being an adaptation of the fourth novel in the Gunslinger, in the Dark Tower series.
Sectology?
Was there seven?
It wasn't
of them?
A trilogy. There were seven. This of them. Is, what is that? A sectology?
For fans, first of all, if you were a fan sectology of the Dark Tower series, you will really enjoy this. If you never read the Dark Tower series, you can jump in, and it's a very entertaining read. But the events of this take place during the fourth novel, which was Wizard and Glass, which was my favorite book out of the series.
Would you have come out on Tuesday night at midnight to buy it?
No, because I came here on Wednesday and got it.
Just curious.
And
8 hours later, affect your enjoyment.
There was a really nice Marvel Spotlight had some interviews with Stephen King and Robin Firth and Peter David and Jay Lee, everyone that was really involved with it. And I think there's been a lot of care taken into the adaptation of this. I mean, this is Stephen King cares about this series a lot.
What is Firth's background?
She, and hopefully I'm not misquoting here, Sal can probably help me out. She's basically Stephen King's assistant.
She was his assistant on a couple of books of his. I don't know which ones at first. And then
several
with the
of the
Dark
last
Tower,
of the Dark Tower stuff.
Well, yeah, when the Dark Tower came up, she really became hands-on
okay.
with it. And she also wrote a few
annotated
books about the Dark,
okay.
Dark Tower.
So
and
she's
other.
A Dark Tower.
She's worked extremely closely with Stephen King.
She may know as much about the Dark Tower as Stephen King
that's
does.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Peter David's always a wonderful adapter. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a guy that you can put any licensed property in his hands, and you're going to get a story that much, very much fits in the universe that
Which
the story
is an
inhabits.
Thing
so.
To do.
I felt, you know, I actually had to remind myself at the end that this wasn't written by Stephen King. The dialogue is spot on with how the dialogue was in the book series. So yeah, Peter David is. I had to remind myself it wasn't Stephen King writing it.
Beautiful Jay Lee art.
Jay Lee is... I'm really starting to like this guy's stuff. If you are familiar with his miniseries he did with Grant Morrison, Fantastic Four, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Paul Jenkins, The Inhumans.
Inhumans was phenomenal.
Yep.
So The Sentry. He did
The
Sentry.
Great arc with in Captain America that Chuck Austin had to finish because John Ray Nyber was released.
Jay Lee's stuff is, but this is actually a little different than some of his stuff before. It's
this may be my favorite stuff I've seen from Jay Lee.
It's really nice.
And I noticed to deviate here for a second. I noticed that Marvel is doing these series based on great literary works, and there's an ad in here for a Marvel Illustrated Last of the Mohicans by Roy Thomas.
Cool.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of cool. So.
it's gonna feature Captain America.
He's gonna have Scalp Hunter, the DC
Scalp
character.
So anyway, I don't know if you're looking for stories in between the stories of the Dark Tower. I don't know if there's much here. It seems like it was taken straight from the book series. This first issue was. This is number one of seven. It does have kind of a meaty price tag to it. It's $3.99, so it's a buck more than you're used to. But I think that's because so many people involved in it. But I liked it. I enjoyed it. So.
I have to say, I used to be a big Stephen King fan, and I read. I don't know, a couple dozen of his books, and really huge fan of his. When the Dark Tower stuff first came out, I think I read the first couple, and then I kind of started to grow out of Stephen King's work. Still liked it, but I just wasn't really, you know, that big a fan of it anymore. I didn't really pick up a lot of his later stuff. I didn't want to like this book. I didn't want to care about it. I didn't want to buy another book. I just didn't want to, but it was good. I did like it a lot, and so
bless you.
Check it out,
Mr. Suntrius.
I was very pleased with Action Comics Annual number 10. It's a 48-page giant. It is totally, if you've seen the cover, one of the covers, the newsstand cover, it's totally done up in the old checkerboard DC thing. And this is really a throwback to the 80-page giants. And I have to say, for a book that has almost half of what you'd normally get for a quarter back in 1968, they did a great job of writing great, concise stories that not only featured some amazing artists, people like Art Adams, Eric White, Joe Kubert, the man, one of my favorite.
Does
you know,
a great Bizarro story.
The kids are great, Adam and Andy, but for me it's always Joe Kubert, and it's an outstanding Bizarro story. Rags Morales did a story. Gary Frank did one. Phil Jimenez and Tony Daniel, the other artists on there. But the great thing is, these are teases to, I think, a bunch of future storylines that you're going to see in action that Jeff Johns and Richard Donner are preparing. And also, a great way of filling in continuity, not only in traditional stories like the reappearance of Mon-El in Clark's life as a kid, and a wonderful story that kind of retells it in... does a little bit of a continuity fix to kind of put a modern spin, and maybe explains a lot of Mon-El's motivations in Mark Waid's book in The Legion, but also a great interlude that you get that kind of fills in the gaps of the Superman films, because you understand how the three Kryptonians will wind up in the Phantom Zone. You get a little more background on their issues and why their hatred of Jor-El is there. And also an explanation of things like Non, the silent Kryptonian, you suddenly find out was an old confidant of Jor-El's and a good friend, and some bizarre accident happened that gave him kind of a lobotomy, and that's why he's a mute. So there's kind of this tragic story of Non, the one, you know, the goofy third of the
What works, with those,
the,
what
those
works with those so much, though, is that for me, the Phantom Zone criminals were really never that important to me, because it never felt like they never had anything really that mattered to me about them. But what this book does, that very short story, it's probably like 8 pages long, what it does is it gives them a motivation for why I should care about why they come back. Because they are part of Jor-El's legacy. They aren't enemies of Jor-El. They were people that agreed with him.
Right.
And they paid the price, and now it makes sense on why...
why they hate the family.
Yeah,
I'm just glad to see that it seems, you know, like Marvel and DC are finally back to putting out, like, giant-size annuals and annual books that
matter.
Good.
Yeah,
that matter, that have something
have
that,
done
you know,
a really good
you know what
job
I mean? For years and years and years, you got just crap.
Well, or the Secret Files were always so disappointing because they were really more... texts rather than really stories.
There's nothing
but
fucking secret about it.
The funny thing is, the funny thing
it's
though
shit
is
you already
even,
knew.
Even something like The Secrets of the Fortress
that
of
was
Solitude,
awesome, yeah.
There's tons of ideas for stories that are kind of planted in this
and
as well.
And you can see the statues and the... I don't want to ruin it, but the...
Right, there's an acknowledgement of the... There's an acknowledgement of the Legion of Superheroes in the Fortress. Well, obviously, they are going to play a role in upcoming Superman, and it looks like continuity's going to kind of put Superman back in the Legion story, as it should be, because to me, that was always one of the big gaping holes of the Legion since they retconned Superboy out of it.
But you have all the cool stuff like the different types of kryptonite, and you have all these things, and it's just, it was a really fun book.
Culminating,
really fun.
Tom
which
Donner are getting really excited, aren't they?
I know, Tom and Donner having like a stroke.
Yeah, well, no, really, I mean, that's the thing, the DC boys. Culminating
Superman,
the final page of what's coming with Lex and his great new plan against Superman.
A new revenge
I won't even explain what you see on that final page, but it's a wonderful shot, and it is something that Jeff Johns has been able to achieve, I think, and not only this book, but also in Justice Society as well. Teases of a lot of future storylines that I think a lot of old-time DC fans are going to be very excited about.
John, talking about Superman, I wanted to apologize for an earlier comment of mine about there should only be, you know, one Superman book and there's too many. I started reading the Busiek.
Good story.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's what I mean. it's so nice to see.
And
the
art,
in the
I can't
right
think
hands.
Of who's doing the art on that.
But
I love it.
Pacheco?
Is it Pacheco? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Pacheco, right?
Really good stuff. And I recant my statement about that.
That's the one thing you have to say that DC has been doing right is that they've put the icons in the right hands of people that care about the characters and are delivering. Even Heinberg and the Dotsons, as late as they are on Wonder Woman, it's still a great story that when it's done, it will be
it's
amazing.
Good, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Flash. Coming up.
Good.
Real.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
so,
we'll talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Listening, not this Thursday, but the next Thursday, we'll be talking with Mark
Guggenheim.
I'm going
to talk to him about the trial of Barry Allen for 45 minutes.
as he
mentioned that in his comic book
cool.
resources column, so I'm just going to talk to him about.
I don't think we're going to even show up. It's just going to be Tom talking to him about the Flash.
You guys will talk about Wolverine. You guys will talk
for
about
5 minutes, and
stuff,
then bam.
Get up and leave.
I'll talk,
and
about,
talk
about Stacey Conwell. Where did she go? Where did that girl that lived with her?
The Allens.
This will be the most involved Tom's
been
in an interview.
When everyone thought Yorick, the guy who was the tortured prison criminal, killed Iris Allen, and Stacey was the only one that could feel his emotions.
Click.
Where did she go? She just disappeared. Mark, can you answer that?
Yes, Guggenheim and I are the only people that understand that, but we do. That's the sad thing.
No, Jeff Johns is slapping
Jeff
his
knows.
Forehead
yeah,
right
Jeff
now because he's
that's
like,
true.
I should have brought her back.
That's a good point. We want an APB on Tracy, please.
Oh, gosh. All right, guys.
You guys are nerds, man.
That's gonna wrap up our top of the stack. Good stuff from everyone this week. Really strong week at the shop.
Yes.
All right. Want to remind everyone to help us spread the Around Comics love. There's a few different ways you can do that. Take us up on our Listener LCS Challenge. We've told you all about that in the past, so please check that out at the homepage. You can become our virtual friend at Comic Space. That's comicspace.com.
Almost like being a real friend.
Almost. We do have some real friends at Comic Space.
I'm your guy's friend at Comic Space.
See? You know? It's comicspace.com/aroundcomics. You can give us a dig at dig.com. And you can do my personal favorite. You can be as cool as Doom. And leave us an iTunes music review. Sal, we got some frappers this week.
We did. We had the almighty D&B from Simrisham, Sweden. He said, thanks, and I wanted to say to him, nice blonde hawk. Nice way to rock the mohawk, my friend. Cool. We had Recluse 357 from Adelaide, Australia.
Yeah.
He said, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. I don't know.
I question what it is that he ate.
I don't know.
I'm
another Australian, though.
Another
we're huge
Australian.
In Australia. We're taking over Australia.
We have at least 15 people in Australia that listen to us.
Matt,
at least 15. How many people live there? Like 20?
I think, yeah.
Nice.
30?
25
30?
Tops. Matt Saladis from New Hyde Park, New York. He said, I demand more Penguin characters in comics.
And you shall get it.
Well, if you listen to Stephanie Mangold's manga report
on Thursday, you'll hear about a
Penguin book.
There's a penguin tentacle fucking book.
What?
I'm kidding.
I was thinking of the song by ugly country guy that used to be married to Julia Roberts.
Hewitt?
Hey, don't talk about Lyle Lovett.
I love Lyle Lovett. He's a great man, but penguins
but
are
ugly.
So sensitive.
Yeah.
He's
not attractive.
So sensitive.
But it's an inner
that's
beauty with Lyle.
He's the man.
It's a what?
It's an inner beauty with Lyle.
He's a great man.
All right. Could you be a little...
He's cool. He's cool. I got to meet him at XRC.
I love Lyle Lovett. It's awesome. Awesome.
But yeah,
anyway,
song, Penguins
if you want to find out the newest about Lyle Lovett...
You should never say you love a country and western...
He's the exception. You know, yeah, the country group, they shun him, which is ridiculous, but he's awesome.
Well, no, it's just you shouldn't
say
that.
He's
almost
like
exactly. He's like a 14-year-old girl. I love Lyle Lovett. Don't say that. You're a grown man.
Damn.
If you guys
want
to find out the newest about Lyle Lovett's touring info, check out aroundcomics.com.
Chris has a whole
it's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and Lyle Lovett opinions. While you're there, please take a minute to fill out our Lyle Lovett listener survey. Let us know who Lyle Lovett fans are and who we're talking to and how we can make Around Comics a better show for
Lyle
Lovett fans.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. That's you, Tom.
Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topics on Tuesdays at our forum at aroundcomics.com. Later this week, we'll be talking with talented newcomer and writer of The Damned, Cullen Bunn. Next week, get ready to hear from the man who made Wolverine fun again and is now taking over The Flash and hope you're bringing back Stacey Conwell, Mark Guggenheim.
And thank you, Borders. Borders is your source for the best original graphic novels, manga, deluxe hardcovers, and trade paperback collections. Not only will you find exactly what you are looking for, but you'll discover unexpected new authors and series. While you're at Borders, don't forget to check out their huge selection of music, movies, and magazines. Borders isn't just a bookstore. It has everything you need for your comics culture lifestyle. Now you can save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Google Borders for a valuable coupon, and always remember to check Borders first. To find a store near you, go to www.borderstores.com.
Or check out the store locator at our site.
Or shoot your Borders flare into the sky.
Lyle Lovett loves Borders.
Borders.
Loves Borders.
Go to LyleLovett.com.
Oh, I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Sal, Tom, as always. John, it's sorry, great to have you on another Monday episode. Thanks for the voicemails from Doom and Jay. Really appreciate it.
Doom
and Jay.
That's a CW show. That
absolutely is a CW show.
It's Doom and Jay, man.
Oh, everybody, come back on Thursday. We have we have a nice little talk with Cullen Bunn, the author of The Damned, and we go over a bunch of other stuff. In the meantime, be everywhere in
and around
comics.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. One more time.